Another day, another dollar as a holler to the world. I love the way I'm living, love the Gucci, love the girls. Love the parties and the clubs, love the models and hot tubs. Love the German engineers set on deep dish dubs. Another tour around the world, entertaining the fans. I love walking through the airport, taking pictures, shaking hands. Every day for me's an oyster, crack it open, find a pearl. I love the way I'm living, is what I holler to the world.
Welcome back to Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze. You are not MVP.
Oh, yes, I am. You didn't see me do that moonsault earlier?
I did see it, but where's your dad?
Hey, man. Hey. Get out. What are you trying to do, man? You're not MVP.
Yes,
yet. You're trying to be. You're working on it. All right. Hey, give me my shades back, too. Where'd you get these, man? Get out of here. Go play. Can't have my job yet. Man, you got a little bit more time to go.
He's
working on it.
How you doing today, man?
All right. Dude hits a little lion sold off the ropes and ropes and feels like he go sit down.
A 619 was nice though.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, nice. He's got some skills, man. He wants to be a pro wrestler. He said it. He wants to be a pro.
A little bit. So we're live here in Houston, Texas today.
Yeah, we're AEW Dynamite in Houston.
So no travel.
Well, I mean, I live up on the north end up in Spring.
All right,
you know,
all
so
right,
that travel downtown can be a little ugly sometimes.
Yeah,
a little congested, you know. We're at the Bayou Music Center. You know how many concerts I've seen here, man? I'm literally in the double digits, man. I've been here, I can't even say how many times.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I'm still full from catering.
Yeah.
Ryan only hit for those who want to know, Ryan only hit catering twice today, not four like it said.
We need to have like an ongoing Ryan catering counter to the episode.
So are you wrestling tonight, man?
No, I won't be wrestling tonight.
Okay.
But I'll be doing my managerial duties.
10-4.
My vocal representative of the Hurt Syndicate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So since we don't have any anything to drink today, you just want to get right into it, man?
May as well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no bottle today, no bourbon. I don't drink before I work.
So with your son here today, with your son backstage tonight.
Take your son to work day.
Yeah. What do you want him to notice about how you carry yourself as a professional?
Oh.
Yeah, we took that out.
I'm glad you asked that, because I made it a point before I ever brought him on the road. I brought him on the road years ago when he was much younger. And I taught him just a few of the essentials of locker room conduct. And I said, when you walk in, everybody you meet, I don't care who it is. It's a wrestler, somebody on the crew, cable guy, camera guy, whatever. Everybody you meet, you introduce yourself. You say, hi, my name's Camden. What's your name? So when you get into the dressing room with the boys, you walk around to everyone, you introduce yourself, you say hello, and then you get your spot, you sit up right next to me. I said, treat everybody with kindness and act like you belong here. Well, you're with me, but you know, be respectful. And man, he passed that test with flying colors, man. And it was so crazy to me as a dad when afterwards people were coming to me, man, your son's so polite, man, he's so well-mannered, you know. I'm like,
how old was he at this time?
Six,
oh wow, yeah, six-ish, right on,
you know? So it was that was huge, man. It meant a lot. So as I just want him to see the way a professional conducts himself in this environment,
right?
As a professional, things are just supposed to be done a certain way, and I adhere to that old school way of how you conduct yourself as a professional in the business and in the locker room. Not to demean anyone else, because I know different cultures and times are changing, but I'm a big believer. And showing up to work, dressed like a pro, presenting yourself as a star, showing respect and acknowledging everybody. You know, some people, just because, you know, it's weird. You'll work in a wrestling company and you'll see, you know, people that work on the crew and you don't know their name. You work with these people every week.
Every
but you don't
week,
know this
yeah.
guy's name. You see him, but because he's not a wrestler, or because you don't engage with him or her, you don't even know that person's name. And I just that's kind of foul to me. You know, like I know the sound guys. I know the lighting. And I don't know everybody's name, but if I see somebody's face a few times, and if nothing else, hey man, how you doing, man? You know, and a lot of the time it's a little embarrassing. They know my name. Hey P, how you doing? Like, hey dude, you know, like, and you kind of develop like, and you know, fuck man, it just makes people feel good. You
right
know?
On.
Like, you belong. You this show doesn't happen without you. It takes a whole lot of people
man,
to
I've
make
been,
this happen.
I've know? Been seeing that here today, man. Even with testing of the entrances that we're kind of watching on the other end right
yeah,
here.
From our side, yeah. Yeah, so I just want to be a good role model for my son so that he sees, you know, how to conduct yourself in this business. And he seems to have it. Oh, hiccups just kicked in. So, yeah, I think he's got to figure it out. He's going to do all right.
You had a full run before fatherhood and another after.
Yeah.
Did becoming a dad change your approach to the business?
To the business.
To the business.
Absolutely. Because my first run when I was at WWE, I was, like I've told the story before, I had a year left on my deal. They were offering me a very lucrative 5-year deal, but I didn't want it. I didn't want to resign. I wanted to go to Japan because I had fallen out of love with wrestling. And I wanted to, I had to recharge my batteries, man. And it wasn't about money at that point. So I took a massive pay cut to go to New Japan. But even though I was making a lot less money, I was way happier. I was enjoying wrestling again. I was looking forward to that trans-Pacific flight, you know. And it did recharge my batteries. But now, as a father, I have different financial responsibilities. So I would never have walked away from that kind of money.
Oh, okay.
Knowing that I have a son to take care of. I was single, I was free, so I didn't, you know, I'm doing what I want to do. This is my life for me. At this stage of the game, you know, you got a little Hallie, man, you know, insurance is expensive. It costs.
That's a fact.
Yeah. My child support and your child support ain't the same. I'm in that 1% range child support. My little boy got Jordans in two houses. Nah, but I'm happy to be able to say that, man. I'm happy that business-wise, you know, now a lot of my decisions are actually influenced by the fact that I got responsibilities, you know. And I'm a much older guy now, you know. And a triple OG in this game.
Triple OG.
So, to the business, yeah, because there are things that I would have done before because I didn't care.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. paid for by NHTSA.
About the money so much. And I know I can make money. I'm a hustler. I'm always going to make some money.
Yeah, we know that. Steroids and weed.
Fake cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I needed that G.I. Joe money, man. Yeah, man. Definitely changed my approach to the business. And it's cool because he's taking such an interest in it now. Like, he wants to become a wrestler. Now, we've talked about it, and, you know, we'll include the clip.
Yeah.
Every time I take him to work, he wants to get in the ring. And he, you know, he had a beautiful little lion salt today that he had to flex, you know, let me know.
Yeah.
And who was it? Mercedes Money or Willow? One of them said, no, you know, he's the MVP now.
Oh.
That's why he said that.
The real MVP.
He's like, yeah, I'm the MVP now. And I quit doing moonsaults a long time ago. So I think he learned that shit from Ricochet. Because he said, no, Ricochet, we talked about that too. Ricochet was able to supplant Rey Mysterio as his favorite wrestler. And I told him, I'm going to tell Rey, no, Daddy, don't tell him.
When you came back, did your son go with you to San Antonio when you fought Rey?
No, he was home watching on TV.
Oh, okay.
And I give his mom credit because she sent me a video of him watching my entrance on Monday Night Raw. And he was fired, dude. And he was doing my entrance in front of the camera. Like, his mom was recording him watching the TV. And he's watching me on Raw.
Oh, damn.
And then after that, he got to watch me wrestle his favorite wrestler. And I can't even imagine what that's like to be five.
Yeah.
To watch your dad on Monday Night Raw wrestle your favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
You know? So that's, and I will always be beyond grateful to Paul Heyman, because Heyman did that. That was all Heyman. Heyman was solely responsible for me coming back at the Rumble.
Oh, for the spot with Brock?
Heyman brought me back.
Okay.
And the reason he brought me back was, I've talked about this before, I said, I just want my son to see Daddy in the ring. I want my son to see, you know, hey, Daddy used to be here. Those guys you like, those are Daddy's friends.
Right.
So my return at that Rumble was Heyman's doing. Heyman said, okay, done. I said, that's it? He said, that's it. He said, what do you want? I said, I just want floor seats for my son so he can see up close and personal. I didn't even care about the money.
Right on.
And he said, done. And then, next night was in San Antonio.
Okay.
And he asked me, can you make it San Antonio the next night? Damn right. I said, okay, I'll have something for you. Okay, thank you. And they had me in some kind of tag match or something, whatever it was. And Heyman goes, no, what is this? No. No, he's not doing this tag match. You guys work on your stuff. I've got something different for you. Heyman left. A little while later, they told me it was me and Rey Mysterio in a singles match.
Wow.
Heyman did that for Camden, essentially.
That's awesome.
For me, but, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, man, I am a Paul Heyman guy. And I will forever be indebted to Paul
right
Heyman.
Right on.
Because this whole second run was because of Paul Heyman. So, and then after that, after I had my match with Rey, Laurinaitis invited me to take a walk with him, and that's when they offered me a job as a producer. And I was like,
I didn't know that. So yeah. It was a producer offer first.
Yeah, I wasn't offered a job as talent. And at that time, I was kind of talking about retiring anyway. And that's when they offered me a job, and he said, how would you feel about being a producer? You know, you've always been full of good ideas and creative, and, you know, and he gave me the spiel, and I was like, yeah, sure, let's give it a try. And so the rest is history, you know. But this whole thing is a direct result of my son. I would not be back here where I am now if I didn't have a son. And if Paul Heyman and I hadn't bonded over fatherhood, talking about him and his son.
Yeah.
So this fatherhood thing has just been crazy, man, because I never wanted to be a dad. And me and my son talk about that. I tell him, like, dude, I wasn't happy when you showed up. But now I couldn't be any actor.
Right.
I can't imagine my life without you.
Right.
Now. So, and as far as kids go, I got a pretty cool one. As far as dads go, I'm a pretty cool dad. But my son's pretty cool too. And if you know, to be like a, my son is every boy dad's dream. Like, he loves martial arts and jujitsu and wrestling. And one day, he's okay with video games, but he wants to go outside and play. I'd never have to send him outside.
Yeah, right.
He wants to ride his bike and go play soccer and basketball. He was in the backyard for a few hours one day, and he left, and he came back inside and asked me for some yarn, some string or some shit. And I had some like string like to, you know, tie a box up with. I gave it to him, and I peeked out there and I saw him like playing, doing something. He comes back a little while later. He's got a whole bow and arrow that he made. Like, he got a whole, yeah. I'm saying, yes,
yeah,
that's my son.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to do that. You know? So, yeah, the fatherhood's been good for me. And I just, you know, try to be the best man that I can be because I got this little dude, you know, clocking my every move. So, yeah, so he definitely changed my approach to the business. It's a business. It's about money. This is how you take care of your family if you got one. Yes, you can practice your art however you want to practice your art. But the name of the game is drawing money. And when you figure that out, then I'll respect you as a businessman. Or woman. Okay. Or whatever you identify as. A moneymaker.
Yes, moneymaker. Leave it at that.
Stuff going on behind us back there. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was.
The ring. Clear the ring. That's Bob Rosenberg. He's the ring manager. So he usually gives the instructions on when the ring got to get cleared out for whatever, if they got to do a rehearsal or practice something, or once they close doors. Because what you guys can't see is we're facing the ring. And on the screens, there's a big timer counting down how long until they close the ring to open doors and let people in. So Bob usually makes the announcement, clear the ring, doors open in 15 minutes. And while I'm talking, you may hear somebody screaming, doors open in X amount of time. So where we at?
So I'm over here watching the back. All right, so next.
Look, you marking out?
Yeah, I'm marking out.
You over here watching everything going on, marking out.
If you could only see what I see right now.
But so. You can't, because for me, there is still some measure of kayfabe. Because I'm an old man shaking my fist at the clouds.
So if your son says he's ready to start training, what needs to be true before you agree? And who gets the first call to coach him?
We've already had this conversation. He and I have actually had this conversation about his path to pro wrestling.
Okay.
And because he asked me, he said, Daddy, Mommy told me that I have to go to college to wrestle. I said, no. You don't have to go to college to be a wrestler. But you got to do some kind of schooling before I will let you go to wrestling school.
Okay.
So I told him through high school, man, do amateur wrestling, do jiu-jitsu, play basketball, play soccer, do all the sports stuff you want. But what we discussed, when he turns 18, graduates from high school, I told him I need 2 years of him as a grown-up. I need him to be a grown-up, meaning for 2 years, I need him to go to a vocational school, a technical school, a junior college.
Okay.
Something.
All right.
Give me 2 years of education, something that you can show me I know how to do something. You know, I have some sort of documentation that, and while you're doing that, I want you to get a job. I want you to go to work. So you go to work and you go to school. I'll buy your car. Everything else is up to you. Gas, insurance, not, you need to be a grown-up. Learn how to be a responsible grown-up.
So 18 to 20.
And in your spare time, you can go to Booker T's.
Oh.
In your spare time.
Okay.
When you ain't in class and when you ain't working, you can go to Booker T's on your spare day.
Okay.
When them 2 years are up and you're done and you're ready. In the meantime, you need to go to the gym, work out, do what, keep yourself up, keep training. But when that time is, when you're 20, first place I'm sending him is to Canada to go train with Lance Storm.
All right.
I told him I'm going to put him through the same thing that Ray put Dom through.
Okay.
I'm going to, a few months in a few different places, I'm going to send him to Canada to go train with Lance. Then I'm going to send him to Florida to go train with TJ and Natty.
Okay.
Then I'm going to send him out to California for a little while. I'm going to run him around. He's going to go through like 3 or 4 different wrestling schools for people that I hold in high regard and I respect. And then after about another year, year and a half, maybe 2 years of that, we'll see how quickly he progresses, how it's coming along. Then if everything is as I expect it could be, because he's 11, so we're talking about another 7 years.
Right, right.
Then at that point, I told him I'll call President Tanahashi in New Japan.
All right.
And say, I got a candidate for the dojo for you. Send him to Japan to the dojo, let him do some laundry and 500 squats a day and learn how grueling this thing can be. be a young lion, learn the game. And then after he's got some time over there, then we'll see what's open for him. And he said, wait a minute, Daddy. He started doing math. And he goes, Daddy, I'm going to be like 24, 25 years old. I'm going to be an unk already.
An unk. A 24-year-old unk?
Yeah, I'm going to be an unk already.
Unk started at like 30-something, Kev.
I said, nah, dude, you just getting started in your career. But the thing is, what he doesn't understand yet is at that point, he'll be good.
Yeah, damn
good. He'll learn from the best. He'll learn in Japan. It'll be real-time training. He doesn't understand that yet. But by the time he's 24, 25, and he's had some time in Japan to spread his hustle and establish himself, then we'll see what's up, man. Although we got, it's cool. Come, it's not good.
Come on.
We done interrupted now. Come on over,
come
man.
Come on.
No, you can't walk away now, man. You know. Well, where you going? Oh, okay. Special guest is stopping in.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I married his youngest daughter.
I don't even know.
Why your wife don't like him. Tell him.
Tony Chabon.
His wife don't like him.
Why?
My wife doesn't like me. I don't know. I'm still a kid. No, man. I was just hollering at you, bro.
Look who stopped in to say hello.
Oh, this on there?
Well, this is for my show, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Called Marking Out with MVP and Dwayne Swayze.
Oh, okay. How you be, man?
Dwayne Swayze.
All right, brother.
Nice to meet you, man.
So now you can mark out for Houston's fight.
In the flesh.
It took me 2 hours to get here.
Why?
Traffic.
See, I was just talking about that traffic. I was just talking traffic. About it.
I left about 30 minutes. Should have left about 30 minutes early.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the game.
Coming
that's
back downtown.
Hey, what is this right here, man? I didn't know you was a Pittsburgh
Ladies
guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am sporting my jewelry right here, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers, the best team that the NFL has ever had. With the
wow.
Loyal fans.
Okay? Hold up, man. Didn't you grow up here during the time of Earl Campbell?
Check that out.
Huh?
Look at that. Can't get this at the Walmart. Dick.
Man, I'm so disappointed right now, man.
You can't get this down at that corner store that's got the hats. Can't get it down there, baby.
Because it looked just like the Korean jewelry now. That's what it looked like at the Korean store, that Pittsburgh right there. That looks like the stuff you get at the little, where they sell hair and all that.
Chinese.
No, the Koreans, not the Chinese.
Chinese.
Oh, so you got that from the Chinese spot?
No, I'm saying Chinese makes all this kind of jewelry.
Well, not all comes from China, but the Koreans sell it.
What makes you think I went to a Korean shop?
Because I seen it.
My nails done at the same time?
Well, nah, I figured you was buying some of that cheap Pittsburgh Steelers costume jewelry.
Look, man, I don't need you messing with my jewelry, man.
Nah, I'm messing with the Pittsburgh Steelers part of it. The rest of it I respect.
This, man. I'll talk about the Steelers. Don't even put them in your lungs.
Yeah, I don't want them there because I'll probably cough
and die. Don't you worry about Earl Campbell, man. You see what we did to him every year?
Hey, the man can't walk now, man. The man can't walk now. Because he was the absolute best running back in the league at that time.
Don't get on me.
And he ran all over Pittsburgh every time he saw him.
Joe Green.
Okay? Joe Green.
Call Jack Lambert. Call Donnie Shell and ask him why did they do him the way they did. It ain't business. I mean, it is business.
Oh, okay. You know what I'm okay.
You know.
This was all Pittsburgh. I never knew this about this man. Pittsburgh. One of Houston's most favorite sons. Pittsburgh.
Get a good look. They love I got my sneakers on. Man, I ain't got my Steelers sneakers on, but I got red on today.
I'm so disappointed.
But every time I leave my house, my neighborhood, I got some Steelers. I got some Steelers with me. They go with me everywhere I go. The Steelers have been all over the world riding with me.
And who does Booker like?
Who cares?
But I mean, y'all grew up in the same house. You wasn't beefing up.
The Steelers, it don't matter. Who cares?
Okay. All right. I'm just okay. We can go out on that. So, in summation, before we were rudely interrupted by
a Steelers fan.
I mean, I knew when he was growing up in Houston, Steelers were huge, but like Earl Campbell, man,
yeah,
the Oilers,
yeah,
not. I don't.
That was shocking.
I'm disappointed in Stevie Ray, man.
That's shocking.
Yeah, but I was just rounding out Camden's career path and him talking about being a 20-some-year-old unk.
Yeah.
And when you know, when he's done with his time in Japan, then either AEW or WWE, or who knows what the landscape looks like by then. But when he's ready, you know, I'll make a few calls and we'll see where he ends up. But that's the path that we have laid out for him if he chooses to take this.
Are you exclusively handling promo school?
Oh, yeah. I got promo class for him. Who am I going to send him to?
All right, guys, so if you are watching the show right now, then you see exactly what's going on. For those that are listening to the audio-only podcast, we are showing the people who have purchased the All Elite Experience Package. They have an opportunity to come into the ring. Right now, we're looking like at a championship belt sitting on the stairs. These guys have been able to come in first, hit the merch line. You saw Stevie Ray earlier make an appearance on the podcast. They've been able to come in and shake his hand. And you get VIP reception, exclusive souvenirs. There's photo ops with some of the AEW wrestlers. And there's different package prices that, you know, folks are able to pay for. And, yeah, be able to really experience some super cool fandom, see the AEW wrestlers, take some cool pictures, and buy some stuff. We have Ref Aubrey Edwards in
Hello.
The building. How
Hello.
Are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm very tired. We just finished Dynamite at the time of filming this, so I'm quite exhausted.
Right on. We're not holding you up, right?
You're not at all.
Okay.
We'll make the shuttle wait.
Right on. As it should for you. As it should for you. So can we talk about what you did before you got into professional?
How I did something completely different?
Yeah.
I used to make video games.
No.
Yeah, so I originally have a computer science degree.
Okay.
So I'm a huge fucking nerd. And I would program tools for Nintendo DS games. I've worked on virtual reality. I've worked on classic MMOs. I've worked on PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, Steam, iPhone. Pretty much everything you can think of, I've worked on it for about 10 years.
Wow.
And then on top of that, I was also a classically trained ballet dancer for 22 years. So, yeah, and then I went into wrestling.
Okay,
so how about that?
So now.
I told you, we'll just shoot from the hip.
Right. Now we have to make our way to wrestling.
Right?
So how do you go from, computer programmer?
Computer programmer.
Ballet?
Yeah, so all of it.
Into wrestling.
So video games is, it sounds sexier than it is, but it's literally just software development. You've got people, you've got time, you've got money, and you're trying to figure out how to make it all work, right? So after I was a programmer, I went into what in video games is called production, but it's basically project management. So I'm managing a team of 20, 30, 40, 50 individuals trying to figure out how we can ship this AAA game in a set amount of time, given how much resources we have. And you have that one guy who's asking for way too much and you can't get it done. So I'm the person dealing with that bullshit. So I'm managing all these projects. At the same time, I've been dancing since I was 9 years old and doing all this classical ballet. I dabbled in jazz, I dabbled in contemporary, modern, Amazing. Postmodern, hip hop, all of that. But I never made any money doing it, but I really, really enjoyed performing. So eventually I was done dancing and I said, I need something else in my life. My husband had already started wrestling on the indies about a year and a half before. So I knew a couple people in the Seattle wrestling scene and they're like, have you ever considered reffing? And I literally am like, why the fuck would I do that? Like, we think you'd be really good at it. And surprisingly, I kid you not, very similar to ballet. Because are you familiar?
How so?
Are you familiar with the Nutcracker?
Yes.
The general concept. Yeah. Okay, so you have Sugar Plum Fairy in the front.
Yep.
She's doing her shit. She's got her tutu. She's the one on the poster you're paying to see. But during Waltz of the Flowers, you have all these other girls behind her standing there to make her look good. So I'm literally the flower standing behind the Sugar Plum Fairies. I'm just wearing pants now instead of tights.
But you've got a huge amount of responsibility.
Right? So yeah, on top of that, I'm managing a project. I have a set amount of time with resources. Okay. You see how this all kind of
right
came
on,
together?
Right on.
I didn't know it, but I've been training this for my whole life.
So computer programming and ballet for 22 years. And
eventually, just kind of like, I didn't know I would be here, but yeah, I eventually ended up in wrestling.
And did you ever want to wrestle?
Not at all, never. Why would I want to be punched in the face?
Mm, I heard that.
Right?
Yeah, I heard that. I'm actually next year gonna he promises to take me on a trip for one of the indie bookings mm-hmm. for a tag team match.
Oh,
so I can have my first and only match before he retires.
Make sure you get paid good amount of money.
Oh, I won't be paid. I'm sure.
Make sure they pay you in cash before the match. Yeah. That's what you need.
So how long have you been a ref now?
I've been a ref for about 8 years. I started back in 2017. And about a year after I started, I did my first tryout at WWE. And then at right around the 2 year mark, I was here reffing Cody and Darby. So it happened very fast. Wow. It's a creature of timing. Like, there's no such thing as luck. It's about just being prepared when an opportunity comes around, right? So like, I had good trainers. I think having the presence of being on a stage and all that, like, it all kind of helped. And then I met the right people at the right time.
Right on.
So 2017, 2018 was right around the time when like more women were starting to dabble in reffing. And it was becoming something that was really popular. So I ended up getting a lot of bookings on the indies purely because it was like, that's a cool concept. Let's put a female referee in that match. But then I keep getting the bookings because of, you know, what I bring to the table and like what I bring to the matches and trying to just make the overall show better, not just like an individual match. So it's kind of like I'm a product of timing in a lot of ways. So I haven't been doing this for very long. I didn't watch wrestling as a kid even. Like, this was not my plan. But I'm sure as hell enjoying it.
And what do you bring, like, from ballet, like, in the ring with you that makes you different? Because you, like, really stand out.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I think a lot of it is, like, understanding that even though wrestling is, like, the theater in the round, we still have a hard camera we're working towards. So in ballet, you've got your stage, and then downstage would be your audience. So that's ultimately what we're focused on. And then from there, you're just kind of working what we call the horseshoe in reffing, where you're sort of around everything else and drawing the eye towards that central action, which is the actual wrestling, the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Right on.
So a lot of it is like understanding, like I could ask for a submission this way, or I could do this way and then my body's open and you see my face. And then that's more because that better tells a story. Or if I'm down low and I have like raised eyebrows, that tells a different story than if I'm here, right? So it's understanding how the different parts of your body work and how to tell a story. I had a ballet teacher tell me once, like, what are your eyebrows doing? And it's such a weird, random-ass question, but literally every single part of your body can be used to tell a story. Mm. We have this weird, like really artsy modern teacher once who said, your fingers are candles and the fire is shooting from them. But it's that like idea. It was like that particular like dance we were doing, but that was the emotion that he wanted to evoke. But if I'm sitting there asking a submission, like, do you get? It's the same idea. It's just a different setting.
Absolutely amazing. So can we talk about the ref's responsibilities?
Oh, brother. I have like 12 hats I wear at any given time. So obviously we're there to kind of create the structure of a match because otherwise it's just dudes rolling around in their underwear. Like it's not an actual match unless there are rules that need to be enforced.
Right.
And having those rules that you can enforce allows, you know, baby faces to be baby faces and heels to be heels because you can't have a heel unless there's rules to break and figuring out creative ways that you can do that and tell those stories. At the same time, I have an earpiece and I have a production team telling me where we are, how much time we have until break, once we're in break, what kind of commercial we have, what the timing of various different post-match elements is. And then I'm the one communicating that to the wrestlers as it's happening, but also to anyone else who needs to know.
Right.
If there's an issue, like someone has an injury, because unfortunately it does happen, we are the first line of defense from a medical perspective because we're the person who sees it up close. We're also the person that can respond the quickest. We have a two-way radio, so we can be in contact with medical.
Like on you?
Yeah, so I've got an earpiece on me that allows me to hear, and then I also have a two-way radio. I have a little lapel mic, much like this. That's how I put this on so quickly, because I do this every day. But yeah, I have a little lapel mic, and I can actually talk to medical, I can talk to the truck, I can talk to Tony, I can talk to the coach, I can talk to other referees. So we're in communication, so when something goes wrong, we have to react immediately to figure out how we can do it because we're on live TV.
Right.
And it's like injuries are real, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We want to handle them as cleanly and efficiently as we can. But at the same time, aware that we're on cable television and we have storylines we have to do. And luckily, like we've learned a lot of how to handle this since then. And I feel like we've got a really, really strong team. Thankfully, it doesn't happen often. We've got amazing wrestlers who take care of each other. But yeah, that does happen occasionally. And then I try to be like, you know, just emotional support when I'm there. When we're wrestling in a place that like the air is really thin or a match is really long and you see the guys dying in the ring and I'm just like, come on, you fucking got this. And I'm like yelling at them, like trying to hype them up. So I try to sprinkle that in a little bit with everything else that I do.
Ref Aubrey Edwards, we thank you so much for graciously stepping in and saving us today. But will you be willing to come back for the full episode?
That is a rhetorical question, sir. Absolutely. I'm kind of offended you only asked me now.
I gotta get it on camera now. We got it. All right. Thank you very much
for stopping by. Appreciate it.
See you soon. All right, Cam. So you win. It's me and you now, okay? Dad's off doing his thing. You get to be the host of the show now. All right, so I'm going to ask you a few questions. You got some answers for me?
Yes.
Because I always ask your dad questions, and your dad always gives me answers.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right, so who are your favorite wrestlers right now?
Either Rey Mysterio, Ricochet, let's say John Cena.
John Cena, right on.
Roman Reigns, yes, Bobby sir. Lashley.
Right on.
Shelton.
Yes.
And Kalisto.
And Kalisto, right on. Kalisto. So you like cruiserweights?
Yeah.
Is it because you're a cruiserweight right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a favorite entrance?
Favorite entrance?
Yeah.
Like what wrestlers come out to?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's gonna have to be my dad's.
Your dad?
MVP.
Okay, yeah. right on. Because we heard people?
Yeah, we heard people.
How did you feel tonight when that came on, man?
It felt pretty good.
Did you hear the rumble in the crowd and everything? It's crazy,
everybody
right?
Everybody was standing up. It was crazy.
Yeah. We heard people.
We heard people.
Right on. All right. So what else can I ask you, Cam? Do you cheer for more the good guys or bad guys?
Even. Like, I cheer for both. Because both of them have great talent. And I think they're equal. One of them's a bad guy. One of them's a good guy. Both of them are really cool to be in.
Which finishing moves look the coolest to you?
Probably the moonsault or playmaker.
The playmaker?
Yeah, I like the playmaker.
Oh, so all right. So you got to call Pops out in there. Right on. Do you think you'll use the playmaker later on when you become a wrestler?
I will probably use it, but I'll add my own stuff to it.
Okay. Yeah. So before we turn the camera on, you had a new way to say VIP. What was that?
Fontavious Imperial Porter. That might be my new name instead of MVP because that was my dad's name.
Which stands for?
Fontavious Imperial Porter.
Okay, so Fontavious Imperial Porter and your dad is Montel.
Fontavious Porter.
Okay, I like it. So MVP and VIP.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's pretty cool, man. What about music? Do you have a song that you think you might want to walk out to the ring with?
Put On by Young Jeezy.
Put On. You got an answer, right? Right now. So Put On by Jeezy?
Yeah.
I can't hear that. Ryan, I can't hear that. I put on.
Yeah.
I put on for my city. Okay. So it'd be like a Houston thing when you come out.
Yeah.
Okay. Right on. If you could build a dream tag team, who would you put together?
A dream tag team.
Any two wrestlers.
Any two wrestlers.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say Ricochet and Rey Mysterio.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome right there.
Was it Mascara or something?
Mm-hmm.
With Kalisto.
Yeah. All right. So did you see Ricochet tonight?
Yes.
Did you get to hang out with Mr. Ricochet tonight?
I didn't hang out with him, but I got to talk
with him. But you got to talk with him? All right. Ricochet is pretty cool, except for the fact that he cost Mr. Bobby Lashley and Mr. Yeah. Shelton Benjamin their tag team titles. We didn't like that. All right. So I want to ask you about a finishing move. Your finishing move. I know you said you'd do the playmaker and put your own twist on it. But outside of the playmaker, do you think you would have something like coming off the top rope?
Yeah, how about a flying ball in, like from the top rope, but down.
A flying ball in?
Yeah.
All right, walk me through it. How would you do it?
Okay, so I think I would just be on the top rope and the opponent's on the ground.
Okay.
And then I would just ball in.
I like that. I think that would be pretty damn dope, man.
Yeah.
Pretty dope. So, what does the V stand for again?
Fontavious
Imperial Porter.
Yes.
VIP.
VIP, yeah.
The ball and elbow off the top rope.
Yes.
And a playmaker with your own spin on it.
Yes.
Coming out to Jeezy put on.
Yes.
There you go.
Hear that?
We got it, man. Anything else you want to say to your some of your homies that may be watching this at school?
Always watch AEW. Be cool to me or else I will choke you out.
And there you have it. So do you know how your dad ends every episode?
No. Oh.
He says, see you, Space Cowboy.
See you, Space Cowboys.
There's my guy. Can you hit your see you, Space Cowboy?
I just lay back in something new. Whiskey 21 and over low ball. Make it too neat. Dizzle from Harlem. Yeah, I'm from Houston off of Fondra. Mike Mazan and real world flow. These seeds in the streets and in weeks, watch it blossom. Dark night, riding on chrome, swinging through Gotham. It's me and Pete, repaving these roads.